You're listening to RTE Lyric Live.
The landscape of contemporary classical music is rich with diverse voices that draw inspiration from a countless myriad of sources. Among these voices are Philip Glass and John Luther Adams, two composers who have made profound contributions to the genre of art music over the last decades. I'm Vlad Smirshkevich, and it's my pleasure to invite you to delve with me into the hidden worlds behind two works by these two composers I've just mentioned, Glass's Violin Concerto No. 1 and Adams's Become Ocean, illustrate these two composers' distinct approaches, influences, and thematic elements, whilst also reflecting broader philosophical and aesthetic underpinnings. Themes of inner and outer worlds, the micro and the macro, nature and family, are present in both of these works and manifest themselves musically and conceptually. Join me as we explore Philip Glass and John Luther Adams, a world of inspiration. Philip Glass is perhaps best known as one of the shining lights of minimalism, the compositional technique that features repetition of notes, phrases, and phrase segments, and employs phasing as well as periodically shifting tonal structures. After the success of Glass's early operas, the conductor and supporter of Philip Glass, Dennis Russell Davies, urged the composer to branch out into more orchestral writing. At his encouragement, and via a composition by the American Composers Orchestra and contemporary music champion and violin soloist Paul Zukofsky, Glass wrote his Violin Concerto No. 1 in early 1987, his first full-scale venture into orchestral composition outside of the world of theater. This piece stands out within his oeuvre as a deeply personal work, reflecting both his minimalist idiom and his desire to write a concerto that would be accessible and engaging for the audience. And it's here that the inspiration for this concerto becomes evident. The concerto was written as a tribute to Glass's father, Ben Glass, who had passed away some 16 years prior. Glass's father had been an amateur violinist, had owned a record store, and had inspired and informed the young Philip's musical upbringing. Glass remarked that he wanted to create a violin concerto that his father, a lover of music but not a classical scholar, could have enjoyed. As the composer explained to biographer Robert Maycock, "I wrote the piece in 1987 thinking, let me write a concerto that my father would have liked. A very smart, nice man who had no education in music whatsoever, but the kind of person who fills up concert halls. It's popular. It's supposed to be. It's for my dad." Concerto's first movement, with its assertive orchestral introduction, sets a pulsating foundation for the entry of the solo violin's lyrical theme, one characterized by Glass's trademark repetitive structures. The second movement, on the other hand, presents as more lyrical and meditative. Here, the solo violin part floats above the orchestra, evoking a sense of introspection and melancholy. This emotional depth is an echo of Glass's personal connection to the piece and his attempt to convey feelings of loss and memory.
Thank you.
The third movement, marked Allegro, returns to the driving rhythmic patterns and propels the piece towards an energetic, yet not bombastic, conclusion. The relentless forward motion, even in softer moments, is characteristic of Glass's approach, as he continually seeks to balance repetition with gradual change. It is this interplay between the soloist and the orchestra that symbolizes a conversation, one that highlights both the voice of the individual artist within a larger musical framework, and which perhaps also speaks to Glass's inspiration in writing the concerto, where he balances the conversation of the popular and more public with the sophisticated and the more personal. Glass's work stems from a dialogue between composer and performer, and likewise reflects personal dedication alongside virtuosic expression, John Luther Adams' work Become Ocean draws deeply from the natural world, evoking powerful imagery of our planet's waters and the urgency of environmental awareness. Composed in 2013 and awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Music in 2014, the work encapsulates Adams' vision of the natural world. The piece is a sonic representation of the ocean's vastness, fluidity, and interconnectedness, drawing inspiration from Adams's experiences in Alaska, as well as expressing in music the profound effects of climate change on our planet. John Luther Adams, not to be confused with the other prestigious contemporary composer of similar name, John Adams, describes Become Ocean as a meditation on the ocean's currents and the life forms that inhabit it. The title itself suggests both a physical transformation and an emotive journey. It evokes images of immersion and surrender to the natural world. The piece begins and ends with the same thematic material, symbolizing the ocean's cyclical nature, while simultaneously creating an expansive musical narrative that mirrors the ebb and flow of waves, and the orchestration itself becomes a representation of the oceanic experience. Urging listeners to consider humanity's relationship with nature, the work's title emphasizes transformation and embodies the ocean's vastness, fluidity, and tumultuous beauty, resulting in a powerful commentary on the environmental crises facing our planet. inspiration for this work is as grand as it is timely. As the composer explains, by immersing ourselves in either water or music, we began to realize that we're part of something much larger than ourselves. Become Ocean embraces this idea, but the piece itself gets its title from something much more personal for the composer. In John Luther Adams's own words,
what's the become in Become Ocean? The title is stolen from John Cage. John wrote this poem in honor of my mentor and friend Lou Harrison. He compared Lou's music to a river in Delta. All these different streams, all these different influences and currents coming together into this vast territory of music, this big, beautiful sweep of music. And the last line in the poem, he says, listening to it, we become ocean. And I've always been struck by what a beautiful image that is of the oceanic dimension of music, that we become one with the music, and through the music we realize that we're part of something much larger than ourselves.
The structural organization of Become Ocean features a series of waves, both literally and metaphorically. The work unfolds slowly, inviting the listener into a contemplative auditory experience. Throughout the composition, Adams employs shimmering textures and rich harmonic layers that evoke the sounds of the ocean. The gradual crescendos and dynamic swells create a powerful sense of motion, mimicking the rise and fall of tides. This immersive sound world aligns closely with Adams' dedication to these environmental themes, instilling a level of mindfulness regarding humanity's impact on the planet and, specifically, on the oceans and seas. It also is a work that features three orchestras, effectively symbolizing the three major global oceans, the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. And these three orchestras travel along their own journeys until they meet together, three times at the peak of their dynamics. Tonalities and textural contrasts in Become Ocean creates an atmosphere of reflection and introspection. Unlike Glass's rhythmic drive, Adams often allows silence and space to permeate the music, inviting listeners to contemplate their own relationship with the natural world. The immersive qualities of Become Ocean serve as a reminder of our place within the ecosystem and the urgent need to protect it. And certainly there is a sense of apocalyptic warning in Adams' music, as though the writing is indeed on the wall. To quote the composer, "We came from the ocean, and we're going back to the ocean. We're made up mostly of water, and life on Earth first emerged from the seas. And with the melting of the polar ice caps and the rising sea levels, we may become ocean again sooner than we imagine." The central idea of the piece, and a reflection of Adams' environmental concerns, lies in its persistent sound world, which conveys a profound awareness of ecological interconnectedness. Hidden within the surface of the music are subtle shifts that reflect the changing climate, inviting contemplation on issues such as rising sea levels and habitat loss. Moments of stillness give rise to sudden bursts of sound, mirroring the unpredictable nature of the ocean and beckoning listeners to viscerally experience both beauty and chaos. Comes through quite clearly in these two works we've explored is the nature of their sources of inspiration, the personal versus the universal. Glass's Violin Concerto No. 1 is deeply personal, a reflection of his relationship with his father and his desire to write a piece that could be enjoyed on a visceral level. The work's accessibility and its emotional depth allow listeners to engage with it both intellectually and emotionally, resulting in a work that feels both intimate and expressive. Adam's Become Ocean, on the other hand, is an exploration of nature, particularly the vast and unfathomable depths of the ocean. Where Glass's piece is a dialogue between soloist and orchestra, Adam's composition is more a dialogue between the listener and nature itself. The work's inspiration, our relationship with the environment and the growing concerns of climate change, gives Become Ocean a broader, more existential tone. Both of these minimalist works explore repetition and gradual change. However, the two composers approach these techniques in markedly different ways. Glass's Concerto is a personal, emotionally driven work that follows traditional concerto form, while Adam's symphonic meditation on the ocean creates an expansive, immersive soundscape that mirrors the natural world. But even despite these differences, both works succeed in transcending the minimalist label, each one offering listeners a reflection on the human experience and the environment that surrounds us.
You're listening to RTE Lyric Live.